Hello and welcome to Leaf and Let Die Special Nerdvana Podcast Adjunct Edition.
Yay!
Today's tea, I use lowercase for that, is Trader Joe's Candy Cane Gree Tea. It's decaffeinated.
Oh God.
I would like to read to you now a dramatic reading from the back side portion of the thing.
Oh, good Lord.
While our candy cane decaffeinated green tea may lack the traditional red and white stripes and candy cane shape associated with your traditional candy cane.
You can see them with a simple blot of acid.
That familiar minty taste is ever present. We've taken some of our favorite, I think that's in
quotes,
holiday flavors like refreshing peppermint, creamy vanilla, and spicy cinnamon, and mix them with a naturally decaffeinated rich green tea.
Okay, thank you, because I was going to ask, how do you decaffeinate a candy cane?
And now we're going to steep it.
Here's the steeping.
The ceremonial steeping.
You couldn't hear that, but it went plop. Now,
thankfully, it did not go fizz.
Yes. Now, as we steep and I bob, because there's no string on this bag.
That's the lack of string of quality.
Let's introduce our panel today. First off, from the Tea Rage Podcast,
Steven Nelson.
Yeah! Oh my God, the color of this thing is disturbing.
Now I know why. Now you know why you steep tea.
I think we call that the color of aspartame.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, from Nerdvana Podcast, I'm looking at him.
Oh, you're not going to introduce me?
No. Oh. You introduce yourself.
J.C. Arkham.
J.C. Arkham, yes. From the world of the world.
Mortafina.
Yay.
What's it like in the world?
From world? Chuck's Wildlife, it's...
Two Buck Chuck.
And of course, I am your host, Christopher J. Garcia. And we'd like to thank the Nerdvana Podcast for allowing us to hijack their podcast for a bit.
Allow?
Yeah, so we're actually going to talk today about something that's near and dear to my heart. And it's a book, so JC, you might want to take a nap.
Uh-oh.
What? And the book is perhaps the greatest book that has ever been written in the history of horror films. And that is the Sesame Street, There is a Monster at the End of This Book.
Ah,
featuring
yes.
Grover.
I never got to the end of that one.
I love that book.
I got two pages. I got two pages from the end and I put it in the freezer.
There's an app for that.
You're kidding.
Yes, it is available as an app.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have had my mind blowed just right now.
Repeat that.
Because there is an app.
Yes, there is.
It might be the smell of the tea because this is painful. I mean, looking at this thing, there is a scum forming on the top, which is Christmassy. There is Christmas scum.
It's kind of the color of Mountain Dew.
It is snow.
It's the color of, if this came out of the tap, you would basically say, I'm not drinking this.
But the bottom of the glass is still clear.
Now, definitely.
Now I know why you steep tea in things that you can't see through.
Yes.
If I gave my doctor a sample like that, he'd admit me to the hospital right away.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain
that.
These are all inessential oils.
Your horse is pregnant.
Yes. My reindeer is pregnant. Yes. There you go.
Now, because when I think of Christmas, the first two things I think of are candy canes and green tea.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh.
Two great tastes that taste great together.
Well, wait, we have more.
We have
more cups provided to... Whoa, my Christ!
Is anyone else seeing this?
There we go.
Can you folks at home believe this? Oh, my gosh.
These shot glasses that have been placed in front of us
They're out of the TV show Fringe, as far as I can tell.
They are multicolored, rotating red, green, blue. I'm having a mild stroke. The Russian government is coming to shut us down.
I'm pretty sure they're telling me to do something, but I'm not sure what.
These are awesome.
I will buy whatever it is. I'll tell you why I resigned.
Wow.
And now,
Steven,
I don't know.
Drink what Hypnotoad tells you.
Yes, now. Now, we've got, the tea is now, I would say, one-third of the way steeped, and I haven't been bobbing it enough. I have to say, I think what happened here was the guy, Joe, Trader Joe's, was sitting around going, you know what, guys? We ordered way too many candy canes, and we got all this green tea, and someone went, put that shit in a bag, yo. It's kinda, time.
Kind of like the
it's Reese's peanut butter cups, yeah.
And chocolate.
Yeah.
Now, so except, much more except, disgusting.
Put a polar bear on it, and people will buy it.
Yes, and there's a lovely polar bear, not dissimilar, though far less professional than the Helsinki in 2015 polar bear.
Oh, what's happening in Helsinki in 2015?
Why, there's a Worldcon bid, and I have a friend named Andrew Trembley who's going to say 15 words about it.
15 words about it? No, I have no idea what the hell I'm going to say.
That's 12
perfect.
I'll say more about it when I'm not trying to eat lunch.
Okay, fair enough. And now,
did you realize that that Trader Joe from Trader Joe's is really Trader Johann Aldi?
Yeah.
From Germany.
From Germany, yeah. And I tell you,
explains the polar bear being bad.
I think a polar bear took a bath in that yes. Glass.
Now the bottom of the glass is still not.
It's still kind of clear.
It's still kind of clear.
Right,
it's
because as we know, we're looking for a very.
A striation.
Striation.
Can somebody grab a straw from the bar over there so we can actually stir this
start
thing up
get
a little
it going.
Bit?
So let me start by asking.
Thank you, Fred.
Chuck, and we'll work this way. Now, we know what my favorite horror novel is. It is Grover and his terror at the monster at the end of the book. And by the way, the monster at the end of the book, there spoiler alert, Grover.
Grover's my favorite.
You spoiled it.
I'm sorry, I know. Grover's there are a whole bunch of two-year-olds who are like going, damn, I was working on that. But Chuck, what's your favorite horror novel?
The Exorcist, William Peter Blatty.
Oh, man. The novel, I would say, I love the movie. The novel's better than the movie.
Yeah, the dialogue in that book was between the possessed little girl and the priest. Whew, stunning.
Oh, Mortifina?
I Am Legend.
Oh, another good one.
You know, I've never read the book.
Oh, really?
It's really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really? How about you?
The pamphlet at the Planned Parenthood clinic.
Wow.
He went cerebral.
We're learning things here today on the podcast.
How about you there, Stephen?
Well, I don't know if it's a horror novel, but the thing that I found most disturbing was Ian Banks' Wasp Factory.
Oh my God, Wasp Factory.
Because there's just a scene in there where I almost feel like I need to go into treatment to try to get past it. I mean, I'm not even going to go into it.
That's a book for people with mommy and daddy issues.
Yeah.
How about you, Brad? What's your favorite horror?
Toss-up between I Am Legend by Matheson and Color Out of Space.
Oh, yeah.
Like Lovecraft.
Oh, wow.
Oh, those are good ones.
I mean, I hate to rate them, but they're both for me.
I thought you were going to say The Fountainhead or Atlas Shrugged or something like that.
Oh, man.
That's just a different kind of horror.
Yeah.
And just let people know, our Octobers, we'll give you a little hit here. Our October show is going to be our H.P. Lovecraft special.
Oh, yeah.
Show.
And now another horror novel that I think... I hate to say this because it is one of the first real hipster novels, is Mark Danielewski's House of Leaves.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I've heard of that.
First off, it is a horror novel for anyone who has ever done typesetting.
Right.
or anyone who's ever tried to follow footnotes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Footnotes that run for 4 and 5 pages.
And then go around in circles.
Yeah, go around in circles.
Isn't his sister the singer Poe?
Yes.
There's actually a funny story. That book was written at the same time that she was recording the album Haunted.
Uh-huh.
And they cross over quite a bit.
They do.
Okay, all right.
You may see this box. I'm afraid
it'll
work.
I need to get a photo of it and put it up.
It's an amazing book, and it's creepy as hell. I mean, the concept that you have a house that is 1/4 inch bigger on the inside than the outside. What's funny is that there is someone now making a completely unauthorized film version of it. And the only bit that I have heard is actually finished is the 4.5-minute hallway, which is basically a filmmaker, the guy who lives in this house, walks down a hallway that has appeared. And he starts on the outside, and he walks in through the window, and then he goes, and he walks through it, and it's 4.5 minutes of house that shouldn't be there. And
it sounds like a Twilight episode.
It kind of is a Twilight Zone, not Twilight episode. That's different.
Twilight.
As much as I would love to see
not
Bella
film.
In this. As like I was the Bella Navidson, no.
So that book was special. When I worked at Barnes & Noble, and anytime someone would go, I'm getting on a plane, but I need something to distract me.
We have to define distraction before you get on a plane.
Well, we never did that. We just went, and so this book is really good. And they go, oh, House of Leaves. And I say, yes, enjoy it.
And you say, yeah, House of Leaves is by Walt Whitman. You'll love it.
Halfway, halfway through, when is this plane going to crash?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time for us to pour.
Oh, so, good Lord. This might get messy.
Oh,
here.
Man.
Does everybody have something to wash this down with?
I do. It's called more tea.
No, so what you really need to decide is what alcohol would make this tea better.
See, Debbie Brett Schneider, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Here. So, take one of these.
Yeah, here we go.
There you go. Okay. Because I know it's going to spill over.
Yeah.
Actually, no, you could just use the...
There
you
go. Because really, most any tea would be better with some alcohol added to it.
Dr. McGillicuddy's...
In general, almost anything is better with some alcohol added to it.
Yes.
I keep on making the mistake that since Jack Daniels is about the same color...
Mm-hmm. Do you want it
as tea, that it would mix well with tea.
Here you go. We'll get
we're going to get the sound on this one.
Here we go.
Methanol. You'd be blind afterwards and couldn't see the colors.
Ooh. That was pretty good.
Bathtub tea. Now there's a contest.
Here we go. We're doing more.
That's for you, sir.
Chris Garcia proving that liquids and microphones do mix.
Yes, that's right. Who else wants tea? You want tea. Let's see.
And right, we're not talking about the kind of tea they sell next door.
Tea.
Wow.
Okay.
Actually, Miss Brett Schneider, are you coming over to sample?
The kind of tea they sell next door.
Yeah, see how bad it is.
There's more to pour.
Here. Tea next door.
So we have 10 cups here. Okay.
All right. So I've got the box open. I'm going to take a sniff.
Okay. Everyone.
Oh, hold on.
Raise your glasses. Oh, wait. No, you still need them.
Oh, no, yes. And Lauren Ipsum is here today, everybody.
Lauren herself.
Here's another. There we go. All right, everyone.
If they start flopping around on the floor, we'll know.
Everyone, smell your tea.
Okay. It's got a sort of dentine bouquet.
Yes.
It smells like Christmas farting.
It smells like two of the stripes of Aquafresh, but not the third.
It smells like the curb that you know, trash pickup day after Christmas when everybody's trees are out.
Yeah, because you know there's that one time a year, you know, during the trash pickup, it used to be in March around here. This is what it smells like, not only when that last person throws away their Christmas tree.
You don't want some there?
No, I'm just realizing, had I known you were going to do this, mm-hmm. I would have brought some of the Christmas tree vodka so you could wash the flavor of this shit out of your mouth.
There you go, Andy.
Here you go. Come on.
So my first inclination is to say peppermint schnapps.
Yes, yeah. I think that would add a lot to
I'm thinking the candy cane is still up the reindeer's butt. That's
actually, even the sweet tea vodka.
Yeah, and you know what
I think could add.
You know what I think, just off the top of my head?
Maybe some
pure ethanol, just like
Everclear.
Yeah, that would be
Everclear. There you
go. Okay, everyone, time for the first sip.
Oh God!
To your health, for now.
Or what's left of it after this.
It starts out okay, and then it goes off a cliff.
Yeah.
At first, I was just like, oh, this ain't so... Oh, my God.
Jesus, H. Crow.
You know those
like
mints
cheap
you get after dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it has that weird, oily taste.
All right, it does have an oily taste.
It does.
It's like cheap bubblegum.
I'm still saying methanol, because at least at that point, you'll go blind, and you won't be able to see what this stuff looks like afterwards.
That's true.
I think how we improve this is we dump it out, we put some ice in the glass, and then we pour ourselves some, like, bourbon or something.
Now, here's what I'm going to say here. One thing that... positive about this is I am fairly certain that this is cleansing sin. I think that now I have lost 2 years in purgatory for this.
I should be going straight to heaven.
So we're taking this next door to where they sell that other tea.
Oh, Christ.
And then up the road. Look at him.
It's so bad.
The thing is, after the initial sort of taste, you've lost the edge of the peppermint somehow.
Yeah.
And all that's left is that horrible sort of I'm not really tea taste.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing I've ever drank, but it's the worst thing I've ever drank that wasn't previously in an animal.
Chris, you drank pine salt.
I know.
So this stuff, it tastes like, you know, you get one of those after-dinner mints, and you're still tasting it an hour and a half later in your mouth.
Yeah.
It's like that bubble yum gum they used to sell.
Oh, God.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I thought it was
it's
the
like
best
that
tea I've ever had.
You liked it?
I need something really alcoholic in this shot glass now.
I have to say, though, one thing that, of all the teas we've drank, this is the second worst.
That lemon lift?
No, the lemon lift was awesome, but the spice licorice.
Oh, the spice licorice.
That was wretched. But this, the one thing this does have going for it is that the bag is there. And so that's a positive.
But it doesn't have a string.
That's true. No string. Which...
Quality.
Quality. That's right.
They had to save the 0.003 cents.
Because yes. They figured people were going to use the string to try to hang themselves with after drinking it.
Yes, or swallow it to try and have it suck out the taste and pass all the way through.
Or they were afraid that the string would improve the flavor.
Oh.
No,
actually, the lemon lift with the sweet tea vodka was quite good, actually.
It was really good, yes.
Yeah, that's...
Yes.
By the way, if you ever
that's my secret to a good day at work.
If it had a string, someone might mistake it for a tampon.
No.
No.
Actually, this would be the second worst thing I could think of to use as a tampon. I can think. I'm not going to tell you what the first is. All I'm saying is this: second, very close.
But so it would now be minty fresh.
Why would anyone want to put that there?
So now we come to Chris's
favorite
portion.
Part: Darjeelings are forever, where we talk about James Bond villains, and this time it's a very special question in honor of the 1 year.
Ooh.
Of the Nerdvana podcast, the second greatest podcast in this room.
Yeah.
And the question is this: if you could live for 1 year as any of the James Bondses, which James Bondses would you be?
Ooh.
Steven Nelson.
Well, I guess I would be the Daniel Craig one. He just seems vaguely awesome.
Vaguely awesome.
Vaguely awesome. Yes.
If you didn't have to live through the getting nailed in the nuts year.
Good point.
Yeah, there is that.
Good point.
No, yeah, you probably, in terms of pure happiness, you want to be Roger Moore, because then you're basically Bugs Bunny.
Oh, that's good.
You know, I'm gonna go ahead and say Daniel Craig as well. That guy looks like he's got a lot of stamina. Very physically fit, and he can definitely outrun any of the other Bondses, if you ask me.
Good point. Mortafina.
Sean Connery.
And Sean Connery has two sort of periods. He has the first period where he is...
Young Sean Connery.
Yeah. And the second period where he is, I'm doing this because I have a boat payment.
Being upstaged by his toupee.
Never say never again.
Not the Thunderball. Or not the Thunderball. Never say never again.
No. I'm specifically thinking of Live and Let Die. Because he was obviously like, yeah, how far can I mail this in from? Yeah.
Do Chuck? I have to get out of bed this morning?
Yes. Chuck?
I'm going to go with David Niven.
David Niven?
Yeah.
Oh, from the one with the Casino Royale.
The one where they're in the Royal Casino, yeah.
That's right.
Casino.
Yes. Brad?
I'll go with the early Sean Connery because I was always an Ursula Andress.
Oh, there you go. They're thinking.
Right. And he got all the women.
And see, for me, it's the obvious choice, and I think you are all fools for not seeing this earlier.
Barry Nelson.
Dahlia Lavi?
George Lazenby?
No. It is Roger Moore, but it is Roger Moore from the period of View to a Kill.
Yeah.
Because one, Tanya Roberts. All I have to say.
Well, there you have
it. Oh, you're going to say Grace Jones.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I think this concludes the Leaf and Let Die portion.
Thank God.
Of the Nerdvana podcast. Let's hear it for Steven Nelson.
Yay.
J.C. Arkham.
Woo-hoo.
Marta Fina.
Yay.
Two Book Chuck. And Brad. And so anyhow,
wow.
I am Chris Garcia, returning you to the Nerdvana podcast. God, that tea is bad.